Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Good evening, and thank you guys so much for taking the time to be here with us tonight on At Home with Victoria, entertainment Michael Kay. See, Michael, I'm messing up already. He's also joining us tonight. Michael, I think it's because it's so cold outside I can't talk.
I think you've had too much cough syrup.
I know.
I don't judge.
Because if you guys follow me through social networking, you know I was one of those hundreds and hundreds of people across the U.S. who ended up getting the flu. So I started off, Michael, with just, you know, a cold and sort of the sniffles. I was feeling great, and then all of a sudden I ended up getting the flu. So literally it's only been about 2 days that I've really kind of been getting back to normal. So I am feeling better. There's a lot of stuff that's been going on, Michael Kay, in the news. Of course, we did talk on our show about the school shootings in Newtown, but since then, of course, there was a shooting in Texas. I'm sorry, was it Texas or Dallas? I can't remember. It's been so many, I'm getting my states and things mixed up, but there was a school shooting yesterday, and our guest tonight, Rick Side, emailed me on my Gmail, and I was able to connect with him via a friend of mine in D.C. So, Michael, Rick is really cool because what he does is he basically teaches kids about self-defense and what they need to do in case they get into some type of trouble. So he has this program where it's basically, you know, giving your kid a fighting chance. And with all the things that's been happening in the news, I know at least our listeners would appreciate, Michael, this information. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, it's so sad to have to spend so much time educating the public on something that has become very, very rampant. I'm really, I'll be honest with you, I just heard about the one college shooting this morning, and I didn't even – I've been off Facebook for 2 weeks. I have been – like you, I've been sicker than a dog. Mine started respiratory and then moved down to the rest of my body, so I had that for 2 weeks. I didn't feel like getting on Facebook and watching news. I watched reruns of old Roseanne and Golden Girls and all that good stuff, so – I'm looking forward to talking about Rick. Like you said, giving your kid a fighting chance, I think, is something we all want to try and, you know, encourage. So I think we should go ahead and bring Rick on. How do you think?
I think so, too. Let's bring Rick on the show.
Absolutely. Rick, welcome to At Home with Victoria. This is Michael Kay and Victoria.
Hey, Michael. Hi, Victoria. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great.
Well, I just heard. Not so great, to be honest with you. I'm on the tail end, so if you hear any coughing or me grabbing this mic to try and mute it, you'll understand, I'm sure.
Forgiven.
Yeah, because, Rick, I was actually thinking when I went a few days without connecting with you, so when I finally said, hey, I was sick, you had just said, hey, I'm getting over being sick, too, so it's clear. The flu and everything has just been going around the country. But with that said, you know, you have give us a little bit of background. You started to tell Michael and I before the show started, or how it is that you got to this point where you're traveling around the country and giving these workshops, and you've got this information and book out there about what it is that you're doing. How did that start?
Well, it all started actually about 20 years ago. I started. Getting involved in teaching the system of the Israeli military called Krav Maga. It's a fighting system that teaches simple concepts, principles. It's basic street fighting application. Through that, I was fortunate through my travels to train in Israel and teaching law enforcement here and so on and so forth. It's not just basic self-defense. I've kind of extended my programs and my teaching into kind of, this is going to, you'll understand a little bit further why I'm telling you this, into more of an anti-terrorist. I do anti-terrorist training, just about everything you can think of. You were mentioning in your intro the school security, the school shootings. I have also a program that I've developed. Unfortunately, the biggest problem is, and we can even talk about this because it's some things that any of your listeners can bring to their school attention, that school's attention, because these are life-saving type of responses that can be made. But when I've gone to school boards in the past, mainly in Florida, where I lived for about 20 years, the biggest problem, it's like peeling an onion. You have to go from this person to that person to this person. It's got to be okay to hear this supervisor, that supervisor. This is a big problem in being able to get, you know, hands-on good instruction, not just to kids to know what to do, but most importantly, authorities on campus and teachers as well. And we can talk about a couple of those things if you want when we get a moment or two. But anyway, all that being said, as a parent, I had two boys, and they were young. And like every parent, I had the same fear factors that my kids are going to be out there. You read about the abduction stories, so on and so forth. And with my background and knowledge in this arena, I sat down and I pieced together a program that deals with simple concepts, simple responses. It's not all just self-defense. It's mostly lesson building. So it's mainly a proactive approach that teaches kids, teens, and parents how to recognize, avoid, or defend against abduction or sexual assault. And what makes it unique is that I don't really go through all the basic principles. I don't focus on strangers because strangers can be, if it becomes the focal point, you miss the bigger picture. Somebody that's grooming your child or thinks it has some level of familiarity with your child, and your child may be more apt to go with them. They can be fooled. If we focus on strangers, 1,200 kids a month are taken by people that are familiar to them. I also deal with every level of a confrontation. For example, if a child has a backpack, if they're on a bicycle, how to run, where to run, safe zones, where just little things that can make the difference in your child getting home safely to you. And every basic principle and concept, which we'll get into, has to be simple and easy. Look, adults can get fooled. We get conned all the time. People that are grown-ups are conned to go take money out of their bank and hand it over to some nefarious guy that's just interested in ripping them off. So if an adult can get fooled, obviously a child can get fooled as well.
Yeah. And, you know, Rick and Michael, what that makes me think of, there is a show, and Michael, I talked to you about this before. I just happened to have a television on MTV, and there is a show that's called Catfish. So Catfish is really important now because of that football player who apparently had this online relationship with a young lady that he never saw. And I don't know if he talked to her or not, but it was a two-year relationship. So there are all these people, and this is called catfishing, that go on the Internet, and that basically will create, for example, a website with a different name, Michael or Rick, but with your picture. And they basically sort of, you know, live out this life, and they meet people online and go as far as to have these relationships, but you really never see the person or never talk to the person. So, Rick, it is interesting when you say, surely if we adults can get fooled by something like this, then, you know, you kind of think about it. You know, a lot of kids, they don't even have a fighting chance then.
Well, I'll give you an example just so your listeners and you can kind of get a visual. Let's say you're standing there with your child, and I come walking up smiling. I set up, you know, small talk with you. Your child's 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, sitting next to you, and I'm smiling, and we're talking. The weather's nice, beautiful day. It's cold outside, whatever it may be, and we're trying to say, listen, thank you very much. It was great seeing you. And I walk away. Now, in your mind, child's mind eye, maybe I'm friendly with you. Maybe I know you from some other time. Now, if I'm familiar where your child goes every day, or I'm familiar and have access to be able to meet your child when you're not around, say, hey, how you doing? Remember I saw you? I'm good friends with your mom the other day. You see how fast this could happen? And, you know, I don't mean to say this to you to scare you, but, I mean, the reality is that these guys are pretty conniving, and we have to be on our toes every step of the way and make sure that our kids understand. Go ahead.
I agree tenfold, and just for the basic fact, and this may come out wrong because some of the things I do say come out wrong, but no single man should be hanging around little kids. Not that I don't like kids, but I mean, that to me is suspect. Now, you mentioned too about, I would be curious to know what percentage of the assaults are happening from people from within the family versus total random strangers. You mentioned grooming before. I mean, I certainly had a creepy Uncle Al in my family who got a little too touchy-feely a few times. But what is the ratio for that? Is it more so going with someone you know inside the family?
Absolutely. Actually, you know, I couldn't give you the exact percentages, Michael, but you bring up a great point. That most, let me give you an example. And roughly kids that are taken by strangers a year and not to be returned. I don't want to get into the grisly, because there's way more that are returned. You know, kids are reported missing every day. And sometimes they're taken, sometimes they run away, but they're coerced to go somewhere. They're assaulted, they're molested, whatever the case may be. I don't want to get too graphic. But then they're returned in some way, shape, or form. You mentioned your Uncle Joe. I'm going to give you also a quick point for your parents on that situation. Or your uncle, I forgot what name you mentioned.
But it doesn't
nonetheless,
matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But the point is it's vast larger numbers than you know, strangers, so to speak. One thing you just mentioned with your, you know, with we do this, everything again in my training is messaging, trying to recognize and teach parents, and I'll give you a couple quick examples. How many times do you hear, come on, go give Uncle Joe a hug. Give Uncle Joe a hug. Come on.
Mm-hmm,
you,
mm-hmm.
Or give your aunt, your you know, your cousin a kiss or whatever the case may be. So, you know, in some shape or form, the parent is kind of saying, and the predator can use that, say, come on over here when the parents aren't around. Come on, you saw how your mom's cool with me giving you a kiss, you know, that kind of thing. So if there's, you've got to go with gut feelings. You know, I was mentioning before, you know, parents, just something else to consider. I'm going to throw this out there just as something. I lay awake at night thinking, looking at life and thinking of all types of solutions to some of the simplest things that can get us into trouble. But, you know, you don't have to go far, I'm sure, in your neighborhood as well as mine, where you see, again, this is for parents to think about. You see a car in front of you driving, my child's an honor roll student at XYZ Elementary School. Well, let's say you're walking through the mall and one of these predators targets your child. They follow you out to your car. All they have to do is take a look, and they see where your child is 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Now, you know, think about that. It gives you something to think about. Elizabeth Smart, who was one of the, you know, the big headliners, so to speak, as far as, and I used her because she was fortunate to come back, although there are many concepts in my book and lessons in my book that would have avoided her being out of there in the being abducted in the first place. But that being said, this predator took her out of her house. Jessica Lunsford in Florida was taken out of her grandparents' house. You know, you're in your house, you're proud of your child's achievement, you put a trophy up on their windowsill, somebody's lurking outside that has your child targeted, you've just shown them which is their bedroom. So I tell you these things not to shock people or what, well, yeah, I guess to shock people, to just think a little bit, use common sense, and that's really what it all boils down to, common sense.
But, you know, but Rick, it's interesting because, you know, I consider, you know, myself a pretty – you know, smart, savvy person with intelligence. But I got to tell you, some of what you just said, I never, ever, ever thought about it. It never crossed my mind. Something as simple as, for example, the sticker that parents will have in their car windows about, you know, my kid is on honor roll at, you know, at Brown Junior High School. You know,
that's
something
right.
as simple as that would make sense because it's kind of like, the predators are using the information that we're putting out there, turning it against us and doing these horrible things to your kids. That was something that I never thought about that. I see the stickers and I think, oh, that's so cute. They have they're really proud of little Susie or Joe for making an honor roll. They put a little sticker in their car. Oh, that's really cute. I have to tell you, that just blew my mind because that's something that I see on a daily basis when I'm driving in my car.
Well, absolutely. Listen, I also have many, you know, I've developed since that time. I mean, these lessons that I teach even at this age, these are really good for kids 7 to 107. And the only thing that changes are the type of threats that you start to get to 13 and older. I incorporate my woman's fighting chance where, you know, you just mentioned, you know, you go out with your friends. Today, in today's day and age, not mine, I'm much older than both of you, I'm sure, but, you know, you leave your drink, you go have a dance with someone, you come back and you have a roofie, you know, stuffed into your drink or something else or something worse. You know, you're out and about by yourself, you're shopping by yourself. So, you know, there also with women such as yourself, with kids, I just want to make this note because I'm asked this every time I'm doing a kids program. Well, what if he has a gun? What if he has a knife? that can happen. But to be honest with you, for kids ages 7 to 12, it's a rare existence. There's the threat that I have a gun or a knife, but rarely is it used to be able to take a kid, a child, for whatever reason. It's just that when you're talking statistics, Michael, that's, you know, that's a low statistic. Now, when you start to get into the age group of 13 and older, especially, you know, middle school, you mentioned, I think, middle school or high school, Victoria, students are coming to school with guns and knives, let alone predators. So, we have to not only teach you how to deal with taking a gun from somebody or removing a knife and extracting it, but also to be able to use it if you have to in that particular situation. I want to make one point, which I really forgot to mention, or I am mentioning now, is my training is not just lesson building, how to recognize and avoid. The fighting part is key and critical. I do not teach you, even as a grown woman, especially a child, it's ludicrous to think that you're going to outslug a grown man, especially one that's determined to try and cause you harm. But what you can do, what's key and critical in my lessons and in the books and my DVDs, is that you can stun and run. And, you know, it's a very, that's essentially, if you grab by the wrist, know immediately without hesitation, you can kick to the shins, kick to the groin. Forget about what you learn in karate schools. It doesn't work. The type of lessons I teach you are real-life street application, and I don't teach any false sense of security. Karate is good, but it doesn't prepare kids or teens, for that matter, to deal with these real-life type of scenarios.
Yeah, and I really think, too, when it comes to self-defense, it depends entirely, which I'm sure you would cover in your training, but the availability to recall on some of your training during a situation when it's happening. I know a lot of people that we joked about would just freeze and not know what to do, but I believe it does come back like a second science. Would you not agree?
You make a great point, and here's what's important. You know, let me say this to you first of all. It really boils down to fighting spirit. Someone in this world today, and I'm going to get back to your point in a second because you brought a great question up. But somewhere in this world today, somebody without any self-defense training whatsoever fought back and saved their life because of their fighting spirit, their willingness to survive a violent encounter or a hostile threat. Now, getting to your point, imagine now if you are encountered and you have a blueprint, and you have an idea of what you're going to do because you've trained, been there, done that.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean the fear factor alleviates itself. You know,
right.
Your heart is still going to pump, but you're going to see much more clarity and be able to make the right decisions because you've been there, done that. The best way I can say that is if a child is going to or a student's going to school, and they have a big test on Monday, they partied all week long, and they didn't even pick up the book, they're going to go in sweating, not sure, unsure, unclear, whatever the case is. Then let's look at the other side. You've read the book. You understand. You're ready for the material. You walk in there confident. You stand confident. You sit down there. You got it licked. You got a blueprint. You know which way to go and which way to move. So, you know, the more you train, and the beauty about my training is you don't need to do it all the time. You just need to refresh because it's based off a person's natural and instinctive responses. This isn't going to play easy on the radio, obviously. But the tactics that I teach are based off natural and instinctive responses that will come out of you naturally, Michael. Just like you said, you get grabbed, your hands are going to come up naturally, not some fancy move you see in movies or in a karate school. Your hands come in. I don't have to teach you from that point to bring your hands up. They're already there. I just have to teach you how to cause damage and get out of there.
Right.
I'm looking at some of the bullet points that you sent me and some of them that you talked about. I wanted to go down the list and mention a few because I know how important they are to you because you did send them to me. We talked a little bit about communication and that it's important that we teach each other to be not necessarily be afraid of strangers but adults and people that we already know. Touch on, you know, you talked about boundaries of your neighborhood. You talked about safe zones for kids and things of that sort.
All right, I'll hit a few of them. You just mentioned strangers again, and that's good. because I forgot to say to you before, strangers, we've got to also make sure to teach our kids that not all strangers are bad, because if it's a hostile situation, you may have to engage a stranger to be able to help you. And so if you go and seek out a stranger, that's a, that can be a good thing, especially a woman that might have a child. They're very maternal, and not that a guy won't help, but a woman is more apt to help a child in need or somebody else in need. You mentioned about communication. I have an acronym, CARE, C-A-R-E. This really encompasses almost everything of our training from the standpoint of the lesson building. Communication. Parents, you have to make sure that your kid, there's no secrets. Your kids have to feel comfortable that they can come and tell you anything. The minute you start getting accusatory or start getting angry or start getting judgmental, you're going to shut down those lines of communication. Now, as a young child that still is following you, that's great. But when you get a daughter or a son that's now 14, 15, 16, feeling independent, and they're going to keep things from you, that you might be able to avert a big problem if they're willing to open up to you. So communication, never let those lines break down. Accept whatever your child has to say and deal with it. A, for awareness. We don't have to do anything but sit outside of a school. You see kids walking home with their heads down, listening to music, unaware of their surroundings, where somebody is just waiting, lurking to be able to grab them at the right moment. So we have to use awareness to be able to, our gut instinct, so to speak, to be able to protect ourselves or avoid a problem in the first place. Our right to respond. You know, we give our kids messages as youngsters, and I'm not saying they got to go around and start punching people, but we give, you know, keep your hands off your sister, don't hit your brother, don't pull her hair, don't do this, don't do that. Well, the problem is we must have, that's fine. We want our kids to be polite, use common courtesy, and we don't want them beating up our kids. But we also have to let them know it's okay when you're in a dangerous situation to use every dirty trick in the book. If it means biting someone's ear off, sticking a pencil in their eye, sorry to get so graphic, but kids go to school with pencils, and that can be a valuable weapon. By the way, for women, or when I travel on an airplane, I did a special training for American Airlines. This is something that you're going to think about, Victoria, and you too, Michael. When there are areas that you can't go with a knife or a gun if you're into that kind of thing, and I'm not saying that's what you do. If you're not trained, if you don't know how to use it, don't do it. But one very simple tool, when my wife went back to school to become an occupational therapist, she was going to school at night, getting her prerequisites out of the way. And with the same thing that I taught United Airlines flight attendants down after 9/11, because if you remember, they couldn't even bring on a hairpin because it was considered sharp, which was so ludicrous. Somebody smuggling on something, and the flight attendants and pilots couldn't have it. But I said, look, you're still taking drink orders, you're still taking food orders, take a pencil, break off the eraser, sharpen both ends. Now you can grab it in the middle. You don't have to be skilled. You get grabbed from the front. You can use either side of it to I'm going to get a little graphic, but jam into somebody's eye, jam into their ear, rip up the face, rip down. If they grab from behind, you see you can, again, this is going to have to be visual, you can swing backwards. You can attack all different ways. Now, the nice thing about a pencil, if that tip breaks, you still have those shards that are equally as strong and causes as much damage as if the pencil still had the lead sharp, the lead point on it.
Right.
So right to respond. Let your kids know that if they're in danger, they have your permission to do everything and anything it takes to be able to get themselves free, which leads me to E, care, C-A-R-E. Escape, escape, escape. Never stop fighting for an opportunity to get away. You can't, once you teach your children, or once you, if you teach them something that doesn't work, it sets them up for defeat. Right away, they're defeated, they give up. We want to make sure kids understand that they're going to keep on fighting just like you are to get them back. They have to keep fighting to get back to you. I want to make one quick point. That's where my training differs from any other training that you're going to find out there. What it is, Victoria and Michael, is the fact that my anti-terrorist training, when you go into a situation or into an encounter, you have contingency plans. That's why when I'm teaching every level of the confrontation, because it makes sense that a larger, stronger person can grab a child from behind and throw them into a vehicle. Now, even if they have my hands-on training or they're skilled in fighting or whatever it is, a child can be overcome, thrown into a vehicle. Well, now they have a whole new set of blueprints that I teach them inside a vehicle, four or five ways to rescue themselves. If they're put into a trunk of a vehicle, I've developed a way that they can rescue themselves. If I'll give you an example. If you put into the back of a vehicle and you in the trunk, start pounding when the car is stopped. Usually there's going to be a car behind you. There's a whole lesson plan to being put in a trunk. I'm just going to give you something very simple. I don't dominate all the time here. You start pounding on the lid, somebody behind you is going to see that vibration. Everybody has a cell phone today. They'll pick it up and make a phone call. The five tactics I developed inside a vehicle will save someone's life. If it goes from there into a house, I have a whole new blueprint. So there's never a level of defeat. You always have a blueprint to be able to escape and get yourself home to your loved ones.
And, you know, Michael, I think we have do we have his website and the name of your book and all of that inside our website? I know if anybody asks me if I know anyone who can do this type of training, I will certainly submit your credentials and your name, Rick, because this is some really good stuff, Michael.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
What I'd like to do, I want to come there and do a woman's fighting chance and a kid's fighting chance program with you and some of your friends. I guarantee you will have a ton of fun beating the tar out of me. And you'll also have a good time.
Well, what about a class for lily livered white people? Like myself.
Listen, that's the beauty, and with all seriousness, this is the beauty of my training. Anybody can learn. Anybody can stir up fighting spirit and use simple tactics. I'll give you an example. For me to grab you in any way, shape, or form, I have to be close to you. That means one of my legs are going to be near you. I can't reach forward and grab you. Taught on every soccer field in the country and also in the world is a soccer-style kick. You start kicking someone to the shin because one of their legs are going to be near you. It hurts. If you've ever banged your shin, it hurts.
Yes.
So you start kicking someone's shin, they're going to back up and release for a second, giving you an opportunity to stun and run. You may follow up with once you kick that shin, the leg moves back. Now you've got another target, the groin, and you follow up with a groin kick, and that gives you many, many more steps to get to a safe zone. So these are simple tactics for anybody, Michael, anybody. You mentioned,
yeah, and also I was on, like I said, glancing through Facebook the few times that I did. There's a great article on wasp spray. Apparently wasp spray has a much longer range than pepper spray or mace or anything like that. You can get them. Plus, they also kill mice and everything, which I thought was kind of cool.
Let me say this. Forget about most of the stuff that's out there. There is one particular product. I won't use their name, but if someone wants to contact me, I don't know what time. How much time do we have left? Just so you.
We got about 4 minutes left, buddy.
Yeah, we have about 4 minutes. But I tell you what, only because we have another guest coming on. If we don't finish, can I email you tonight? And we've got a couple of shows next week. Maybe we can get you back on
to finish up
next week.
I did want to just say this. Maybe if I can promo a little bit. You okay with that?
Absolutely, go ahead.
My website is fightingchanceprograms.org. Fightingchance, C-H-A-N-C-E, programs.org. I'm proud to say I'm relaunching, and I have actually a four-point plan. For every set of DVDs that are purchased, a portion of those proceeds are going to help provide service dogs. Number one, I have a four-point plan. Number one, service dogs for children with disabilities and returning wounded warriors and soldiers returning with PTSD. I also, another level of the program is I'm going to use some of the proceeds to give to, obviously, a basket of charities. But additionally, I'm going to send a DVD set to a school or library of the choice of the person who purchases
great.
DVD.
Fantastic. Wow.
Lastly,
yeah.
my main plan is to go into underprivileged areas. This is going to take a lot of help and the sale of a lot of DVDs and build centers, fighting chance centers, where I get volunteers to come in and to be able to teach underprivileged areas or people that can't go to college, can't afford this, that, and the other, skill sets, becoming a mechanic, maybe becoming a chef, seamstress, whatever it may be, that will help them the rest of their lives to be able to provide for their families. So fighting chance is not just getting away. Fighting chance is a whole four-point program to try and, with whatever I'm able to do, I looked at my skill sets, and I want to apply them to kind of do things that are near and dear to my heart.
Well, I can definitely tell you that although we don't, we didn't book you for a lot of time, I mean, my interest is piqued, and I know Michael well enough to know anything that we can do in terms of having you back, or if you're on the East Coast, or especially in the D.C. Philly area, that corridor, which is where Michael and I are based out of, and anything that we can do to help you get out there, even on some local stations, my goodness, you let us know, Michael, because this, I mean, what he's doing,
yeah.
Especially, I think what's really critical is that if you can get that DVD of yours into the school system so that it's available for kids and teachers and administrators to watch, I mean, I just think that would be fantastic. Michael, don't you?
Well,
yeah, I think it would be actually a wonderful class, a course to actually have during school. It's just, you know, I'm just going to mention Hannah Spivey is going to be on us next, and she's not actually in the chat room, but I wanted to ask Rick this. I'm a big fan of, you know, Cuomo and his what would you do things and stuff. And some of them are, and he's done a lot of them on child abductions. And watching them physically upsets me for the number of people who simply walk on by. But would you agree that we as a public right now just simply don't want to get involved or say we don't have the right skill set? Or some of us, I guess, are just that oblivious to everything.
This is a problem and reinforces why you have to have the training, the know-how, and the fighting spirit. Because often if people find themselves in these type of situations, you're mentioning people walking by, but most times the kids are taken, they're on the front lines and Superman's not coming. So
yeah.
We have to teach our kids and our teens and our parents, and my training's for everybody, truthfully, men, women, or children. They're lifelong, life-saving tactics, fightingchanceprograms.org. I'm more than happy. I've done schools throughout the country, and this has become more of a passion and for me than anything else. So
yeah.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for having me here, and I hope that we have nice future together with a variety of different programs
things
of that nature.
I certainly think that we will, and either between Michael or I, because I'm still looking at your list, and there were at least about three or four points that you didn't get to make. So if you're interested and if you're willing, we'd like to have you back in the next couple of weeks. I said we've got a show next week, but we can work out the details because I would like for you to come back so that you can finish your list. And then that way, we can have more time, especially now that we know a lot more about you. I mean, we knew a little bit about you before, but just to hear you talk about, what you're doing, just kind of pumps Michael and I up so that we can get a lot more people and really get the word out there to our listeners, if you want to come back a second time. But we'll work on that after
Great.
The show is over. We'll email you. But, Rick, I'm telling you, you have pumped me up, and not only that, I mean, just that 30 minutes that we had, I mean, literally you mentioned about four or five things that I just simply never even thought about.
Yeah,
I
would have never thought about the trophy thing
day.
On the kids' window. I would have never thought about that whatsoever,
Well, so I got a million of them anyway. I really mean, yeah, I'm looking very forward to, and I'm at your beck and call. Anything I can do on this end, any help that I can get from anybody to make someone safer, is that's the great feeling of what I do.
Thank you for fighting the good fight,
right.
Rick. I really do appreciate it. But you're at Home with Victoria is your home too now. I say that to everybody. So come on back soon, okay?
Thanks so much. You guys
care,
be
Rick.
Well. Yeah, bye.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
Great guy. My God, I learned
oh
so much. Yeah, that trophy thing really freaked me out. I never would have ever thought because, I had trophies on my thing. Well, I was an ugly kid, so no one's going to go ahead and abduct me. But, it was just – that was – I never thought
of that. Well, I'll tell you what really got me and freaked me out were the stickers that parents have in the back window on the car. I mean, that's something that I see all the time. I mean, you see it every single day. doesn't matter if you're in the parking lot, at the grocery store, if you're at the mall. I mean, you always see those stickers. But everything that he said, it completely makes sense because it's so easy for a bad guy to basically take the information that's already provided and use it against you. Because clearly when he said it, I could clearly see a bad person, you know, if they have thoughts in their head that they want to take a kid and they're at, let's say, I don't know, like a circus or a grocery store, and they see the mom and the kid leave the car, go inside the grocery store, and then they can see a sticker on the car that this kid is from Brown Junior High School, and they go in. And, you know, if you walk up to a kid or something and you say, hey, you go to Brown Junior High School, what's your teacher's name? Of course, I could totally see the kid responding, saying, oh, yeah, I go there, my teacher's name is such and such. I mean, I could clearly see how something like that would clearly play out.
Oh, absolutely. And it's come such a far way than just a bag of candy in a white van, you know what I mean? These people are really going, and you know, when he mentioned too about the websites and stuff, there was a thing I was reading on, I don't know what it was, Marilyn actually sent it to me, about these dating sites where these people will go ahead and actually, you know, befriend a widower or a widow and, you know, have this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, you know, yes, you're sending money, you're sending cell phones and all that stuff. So, you know, have we really come that far as a society that even adults are, you know, getting fooled like that? I think basically, if I may make a social commentary, I think everybody right now is so willing and wanting to trust, but we've been taught to be so skeptical of everything. And I think it's a fine blend of trying to temper things with wisdom and still not be a fool, and I don't know. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I think I'm a little different in that. I think with my background and being a journalist and sort of being taught to be skeptical about things, and, you know, I was, you know, in elementary school growing up in D.C., we actually, I don't know if it was necessarily a class, but I do remember we had the local police officers. It was like safety patrol who would come to our classroom and come to our school. So they literally would give us lessons on, you know, if somebody came and tried to pull you, what you do, or scream or yell or, you know, say help. So I actually, as a kid, do remember getting those lessons. So I don't think that kids these days, at least within the school system, get those lessons. So unless their parents or grandparents or, you know, someone like Rick is giving them those lessons, I don't really think they get them. And then the problem becomes if something does happen and the kids don't get the lesson, they kind of freeze up and you really don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, that's what the training's for, so I guess.
Yeah, and in that moment, and of course in that moment of time, I think is when anything, you know, can certainly happen. It's funny because when I ended up getting my new car for Christmas, the new keys in these cars now, it's kind of like a push button, and it almost the key actually looks like it could be like a small blade. And I remember pushing the button, and Victor looked at me, and his immediate reaction was, you know, that right there will make a really good weapon if someone tries to sneak up on you. You could take them and stab them with that. So I remember kind of smiling, looking at him, saying, you know, I didn't really think about it as a weapon, but it was interesting that that was the first thing that came to his mind, that he thought about it for safety reasons. So I don't see our next guest has called in yet, Michael. So
I don't either, but I think we'll just play a little song. Let's lighten up the mood a little bit. This is Anna Johnson with Someday, and when we come back, hopefully Hannah Spivey, author of Ebony the Beloved, will be with us. You're listening to At Home with Victoria on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Don't go away.
Four. Oh, not your average, everyday kind of girl. She walks along alone on the highway, opens up her guitar case to sing. Glad to meet you, here I am, she says. Sometimes when it rains, I cancel my plans. Catch all the drops in my hands. Listen to the beat, beat. Life can be so sweet. Yeah. Magazines with torn pages, old jeans with holes. She's worn for days, but who cares? It's okay. Some days
can't leave. She's got dreams left to chase. In the end, she'll find a way to look ahead, forget about today. It's just a day. She knows that someday, someday her dreams will come true. Someday she'll sing them for you. Someday you'll wanna go too. And someday you'll find a true love, and then you'll never give up. Just keep living the life, loving yourself. Never give up, you know that you're after. Living the life, loving yourself. The dreams will come true. Better trust, better try on your dreams. Someday the dreams will come true. Someday she'll sing them for you. Someday you'll wanna go through. And someday you'll find a new love, and then you'll never give up. Just keep living life, loving yourself. Your dreams will come true. Someday,
here and everything.
I don't see Hannah either. I emailed her, so hopefully Hannah, if you're out there, Hannah is the author of Ebony the Beloved, and I'm apparently told that the novel focuses on domestic violence, sexual abuse, as well as bullying. So hopefully she'll call in before Michael and I are done with the show tonight. If not, for those of you that were joining us tonight to listen to Hannah, I apologize, and I'm sure I will find out what happened. So hopefully, if she doesn't make it to the show tonight, that Michael and I are able to reschedule with her at a later date. But, Michael, I think we should take this time to talk about a few things that have been in the news before we say goodnight and sign off tonight. The first lady, did you like her since you're a hair person? What did you think about her new haircut, her bangs? Like
the controversial bangs, I'm telling you. I thought she looked fantastic. I love the coat she wore. I love the dress she wore for the ball and everything. I think the two of them looked stunning. I really gave them kudos when they actually hopped out of the limousine and walked down the street like us regular folk and stuff. I'm always scared with situations like that, with the current state of everything. That's a big event like that is going to result in something tragic. But I was just so thankful to go ahead and see them. I thought his speech was so very poignant, and I thought it was so very fitting for it to be on Martin Luther King Day. So I haven't seen the new Martin Luther King exhibit, Vic. You have though, right?
Yeah, I have. In fact, when I was in Washington the last time, there's always some type of construction taking place in the city, and I believe that they're going to open sort of a civil rights museum on the mall, which is a big deal because there's been many, many, many people over many, many years, I mean, since I can remember being a kid, that have been fighting for an African-American civil rights museum on the mall. So I think they're going to go ahead and actually do that. So I'm really excited about that. Excited about that just for us as a country, as Americans, to be able to have that history. Because if you don't know a lot about the Smithsonian Institution was actually started by an Englishman from the UK named James Smithson. And it's interesting because when the United States of America was getting formed, he thought that any civilization needed art, history, and museums. So he literally donated money to start the Smithsonian Institution in America, although he never was able to come over here and see it for himself. So it's interesting how he was the one who started that. But the last I remember, there were 13 or 14 museums altogether. So you've got American history, air and space, Indian affairs. I mean, you've got so many different types of museums. So that's going to be a nice addition to the Smithsonian Institution. So hopefully when you make it back to D.C., Michael, we'll because I know you want to visit the American History Museum that's got all the cool stuff in there with the and then the museum, the natural history, that's got all the really cool gems inside of it as well.
Yeah, well, and then maybe you can take me to the Fancy Press Club. We can have some lunch there or something because you're this big member.
I do believe that since I'm a member, I can take you there for dinner or for lunch. So perhaps when Michael comes to town and you guys come to town, we can dine at the National Press Club. We'll sort of put that on our list of things to do. But the other thing that has really been in the news lately, at least of the last couple of days, is Beyonce and the lip-syncing incident. So apparently, which I thought was kind of interesting because I, you know, have the news on and I'm doing stuff around the house, and then I happen to have CNN on, and I hear, you know, the music that says breaking news. So I thought, you know, of course, I'm a news person, so I run to the television, and I think, oh, my God, what's going on? What happened? And it's like breaking news on CNN. And then the breaking news was that Beyonce did lip sync. I was so embarrassed for my news industry as a whole. I thought, really? Are you kidding me? This isn't supposed to be breaking news. This is that slow of a news day that Beyonce lip syncing is breaking news.
Yeah.
But some people apparently it's a big deal that she lip syncs. Some people, you know, think it's not a big deal. Apparently a lot of artists at these events lip sync. So I really don't have a stake in that game. I really don't care either way. But caring when CNN rolled their open to breaking news. I thought it was something about, you know, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, like another school shooting. You know, I thought it was something.
Yeah.
And then the guy comes on and says, you know, we just have a confirmed report from the inaugural committee that Beyonce did lip sync. I thought, are you kidding me, people? Really?
Yeah, no. And plus, I granted for a concert and everything, yeah, I wouldn't want to be lip sync too. But, it's Beyonce. We all know she can sing. And so, you know, it was cold. I mean, who knows what voices go ahead and do at that point?
Well, apparently she actually, I guess it was the night before because she wasn't able to make it to town in order to rehearse with the military band. So apparently that one time that they did do it, she just had them record it. So when she did it, it was live and the band was live. So apparently she made the decision, I guess, the night before. I don't know if it was the night before or the morning to just go ahead and play that. So apparently, you know, she did sing it live for the recording. But I've got to tell you, watching her on television, you know, she really did look like that she was singing it from her heart. So I was like, wow, she did a good job lip syncing there, though.
Absolutely. And Kelly Clarkson rocked it, too. But I actually see that Hannah's coming in just at the 8-minute mark. So let's go ahead and bring her on very, very soon. Hannah Spivey, this is At Home with Victoria. Thanks for coming. Where were you, doll? Hannah? Hannah, can
Hi,
you
Hannah,
hear
are you with us? Well, maybe Hannah's having some problems. Michael, we'll see if we can get her again on the air. But Hannah is actually an author, and she is the author of Ebony the Beloved, and the novel itself, again, focuses on domestic violence, sexual abuse, and also bullying. So let's see if we can – well, it looks like she's off the board, so maybe she's having some problems and she's going to call back in. But, Michael, until Hannah calls back in, finish your thoughts on Beyonce and what you were thinking.
Well, granted, the woman's lovely and she could sing. Kelly Clarkson did a fantastic job. I was very, very, you know, very, very happy with her. But it was one of those things because it was kind of surreal because I was on Facebook that day because I was monitoring just what everybody was saying about the inauguration. Boy, some people still are hating on him. But Kelly Clarkson, who's a friend of mine, not personally, but we have chit-chatted maybe once on Facebook, which I counted that as a friend, but she, there was a picture of her behind the stage with her and Beyonce just kind of sitting and waiting. One was drinking a Diet Coke, and I thought, you know what kind of life would that be that, you know, you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you curl your hair, and then you think, okay, what do I got to do today? Okay, I got to go to the inauguration, and I got to sing a song, and then, oh, yeah, Kelly's going to be there too, you know, so it's like I wonder if that's surreal sometimes how they just
You know, Mar, our executive producer who works inside the chat room, she is really into musicians and music down in Tennessee where she lives, and she mentioned that it is very difficult to sing in weather that's very cold. And Mar, I do believe you're right because I started thinking about when I was a fresh reporter and I was working in the Midwest in central Illinois, and I remember that it being so cold there, Michael, in the wintertime when they would send me to do live shots. I mean, literally, like, let's say I probably only had, like, 2 sentences to say. Right. I could barely open my mouth. That I mean, I felt like when I was talking that I was speaking in slow motion because my lips and my teeth and my mouth were so frozen. So that part of it, if it was too cold or something like that, I guess I really do get that because I've never experienced it in trying to sing, but I have experienced what it's like when you have to talk and put a sentence together and it's just freezing outside.
Yeah, here at Channel 6 ABC, we have a regular weather guy, Andy Joseph, Adam Joseph. And then we have the extreme weather girl, Candy Gandolfo. Candy Gandolfo was probably, I'm guessing, probably mid-50s. Every hurricane, every blizzard, every snowstorm, they have to put her on. And I'm thinking, like, did she really, like, bug somebody or peeve somebody off? She's always getting these really crappy assignments. And it's always with, you know, like the extreme weather where she's holding onto a lamppost going vertical. I feel so bad for her all the time. But, yeah, it's got to be hard nonetheless. Also, Vic, I want to go ahead and remind everybody, Indy Soap Awards is coming up on February 19th, and that's a Tuesday. And the lovely and beautiful news lady, Victoria, will be joining me for the first time. This is the fourth annual Indy Soap Awards. So, Vic,
keep,
I'm so happy you and I are going to be doing this carpet together.
Let's keep our fingers crossed that nothing happens or comes up, but I certainly do plan on trying to join Michael in New York for that. Michael, let's see if Hannah, if we've got Hannah on the line now.
Okay, let's go ahead and double check and see. Hannah, can you hear us?
Hello? Hello?
Hannah?
Hi, Hannah.
Hey.
Well, welcome to the show, darling.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I was having some problems with my phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were hoping.
Well, we've got you here now. We don't have a lot of time because we had you scheduled at the bottom of the show, but tell us a little bit about your book.
Yes, my book is called Ebony the Beloved, and it's about a young African-American girl named Ebony who's pretty much been through the storms. She was emotionally, physically, mentally, and verbally abused by her parents. And her parents were she was from a very dysfunctional family, and her peers rejected her, and the only person who's ever given her the most love she's ever craved for was a woman named Norma Lou. Norma Lou took her under her wings, and she guided her into the right direction. And, you know, Ebony felt appreciated for the very first time. However, when she's later introduced to this guy named Desmond Waltz at this domestic violence benefit concert, her life begins to take a turn for the worse. Of course, at first, he's very charming and very charismatic, but when he gets her behind the scenes, he's very abusive, and he pretty much manipulates her and kind of controls her and imprisons her. And, she has to deal with him and his abusive mother, and, you know, she's been through a whole lot, but eventually she finds a way out. I can't go into that. People have to get the book to see.
Yeah.
Now, what was it that you decided that this was a book that you wanted to write?
Oh, I read one of my favorite authors, whose name is Mary Monroe. She wrote a book called God Don't Like Ugly, and it was about a young girl who was also abused. She was like 7 years old when she was first sexually abused by this 53-year-old boarder at her house. And her mother really trusted him, but, you know, of course, she wouldn't tell her mother that she was abused by this man because she didn't think her mother would believe her. And I read another book by another author who I also admire, named Caramel Lawson Roby, who authored a book called Deep Dark Secret about a girl who was also abused. And I said, I could write a book about this because I was verbally abused, but I was never sexually abused, thank goodness. And I said, I want to write something that, you know, I want to read a book that was never quite written. So that's how I came up with Ebony the Beloved, because even though it's a fiction book, that's the type of book that a lot of people can relate to. If they ever been sexually abused and molested or raped, so on.
Yeah,
Ebony the Beloved is actually available on Amazon.com. The link is up in the chat room and everything. I want to thank Marby for producing chat tonight. Hannah, is your book also available on Kindle?
Absolutely. It's available on Kindle for 99 cents.
Wow.
Oh, great. That's a great price. And I also wanted to ask you, how long did it take you from the time that you decided that this was going to be a project that you were going to work on until the time that, you know, you were able to give birth to it and it was published?
It took me about 5 months to write it. Of course, once I found a publisher for it in 2010, July 2010, because I wrote a book on October 2009, and I finished writing on March 2010. It took me 6 months to find a publisher. And then afterward, when I found my publisher, of course I had to add more scenes and flesh out some scenes and develop the characters more. So I would say a total, it took me about a year to actually complete the book.
Get it done.
Wow.
Michael, you know, I'm always interested when we have people on the show and we ask these questions. So how long did it take you to do this? And what was the process that you took to come up with this song? Or, you know, what was the process that you did to do this? And it's funny because I always expect people to say, oh, you know, it took like 2 or 3 years. So when she said 5 months, I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. It only took you 5 months. That's fabulous.
Yeah, especially for a first-time author. I mean, I'm a first-time author. I've been working on mine for 3 years. Granted, you know, I'm a little lazy,
Michael, you need to talk to Ebony when this is over and get some tips. Ebony, he's been working on this book forever.
I'm lazy. I'm lazy, that's all. Hannah, I would be remiss to suggest that the book was actually, you know, kind of penned by personal experience.
Oh, yeah, some of it is based loosely on my life. I grew up poor. I had low self-esteem issues. I've gone through what most girls went through, just trying to find, you know, dealing with puberty, just trying to find some normalcy in my life. At the time, I didn't really have any friends. When I reached a certain age, throughout middle school and high school, I was pretty much alone. So I said I wanted to put pieces of myself in this book because I want something that's very raw and real. Sometimes when authors, they write about a person that's been abused, they don't really make it explicit. But when I wrote this book, it was very explicit because the things that the language I hear and heard are explicit. So I said, this is going to really, not only do I want to make it like a very dark book, but a very entertaining and inspiring book at the same time. So the book can touch the reader's emotions, all the reader's emotions.
Yeah. Well,
and
I think
apologize. I'm sorry, Mike, I want to apologize. Why I keep calling you Ebony, I don't know. I realize that's the name of your book, but your name is Hannah, so I apologize. So anyway, go ahead, Michael.
No, I'm just, that was funny because I caught it too, but it big deal. Now I lost my point of reference. But,
sorry.
Oh, no, not a problem at all. However, well, that's what I was going to say. I smell a movie coming out of this. I think it's similar to that. Precious. Did you see Precious at all, Hannah, the movie?
Yeah, I've seen Precious. When I was writing the book, I wasn't watching Precious. I didn't know. When Precious first came out, I was in the middle of writing the book. But by the time it came out, I was still in the middle of writing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I didn't get it from Precious, though.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely not. No, and there's enough stories of that to do. I just found Precious to be one of those movies that is like, after the 90 minutes, I was just shocked that I saw and I couldn't unsee what I looked at. So it was, it's hard to believe that these stories are still so prevalent in society today.
Yeah, I had a difficult time. I want to say I didn't see it at the movies, you know, when it comes on HBO and television. I think I was able to make it through probably about the first 40 minutes, and so I still have never been able to watch that entire movie because it's a little bit too much. But, Hannah, listen, thanks for calling in. I'm glad you were able to get on the show tonight. Michael and I are going to continue to talk about your book. We'll keep it on the website and also the link to Amazon where folks are able to get it and to read it as well. So thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
okay.
Doll. See you soon.
Bye.
Yeah, another book with sad stories, but relevant and important nonetheless. Yeah, it's amazing. So,
yeah,
however,
I totally agree. So listen, next week we've got our last series of shows where we're talking about nutrition, and I actually have a nutrition expert that's going to be calling in to sort of to give us some tips and the latest information on food and, you know, sort of what's good and bad and all the latest statistics and all that good stuff, or sort of anything that we need to know is relating to food and nutrition. So Janelle is her name, so she's going to be calling in. And then also we have a young lady that Eve, our friend with SIP with Socialize, that I'm a contributor, sent our way. And she's actually a dental surgeon. So any questions that you have about teeth and prices and, you know, braces or veneers or whatever, it's kind of cool because she's kind of like a really, really big shot doctor in the D.C. area. And she's going to be calling in and spend 30 minutes with us to kind of give us the lay of the land, you know, when it comes to teeth, what's natural, what's not, and all the different procedures that's out here. So I'm really happy that she's going to come on, and Ivy is her name, Dr. Ivy, and is going to talk to us about that. But, Michael, up until then, let's see, after next week, we won't have any shows until about mid or late February because we've got a couple of trips that you and I are going to be taking, and then we'll be reporting on those trips from D.C. and New York and the Indy Awards once we get back.
Yeah, we got to do a lot of research. And just going back to nutrition for a second, my good gal pal Kelly Whitney brought one of those NutriBullets. Have you been seeing the commercials on television for them?
Yes.
So here's the deal. I got a juicer for Christmas from Susie Jennings, and then I bought some fruit. It makes wonderful fruit juice. You just have to use so many apples and pears, and it's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And then so I wanted to try Kelly's NutriBullet down because I thought, well, you know, you're eating all the pulp and everything. So Kelly made me one of her spinach, nut, apple, pear, whatever concoction. I was really looking forward to it. Well, when she handed it to me to drink, it was like drinking runny porridge. It was that sort of consistency and everything like that. So I'm opting for the juicing because it's just I cannot handle that kind of mushy mush blech blech in my
mm-hmm.
system. But the juicer works like heaven, except that you're left with all this pulp that, of course, you could make
right.
into carrot cake, apple bread, which, of course, you know, I'm such a baker, so that just goes
right
in the garbage. But,
maybe that's something next week when Janelle joins us that we can actually talk about, because I do know that you were interested in the juicer. I just ended up, you know, in the summer getting that little magic, the bullet, which works
yeah.
great for me because I get to make my smoothies and my protein shakes and make little, you know, shakes and the icy drinks in the summertime that I like. But, Michael, something that we talked about before, I think this was last Christmas when you had gotten that soda stream,
mm-hmm.
and I never got a chance to tell you, but I remember how excited you were and how you said that if you buy that, you can't imagine that you would ever have to purchase another soda in your life. So finally, remember, when I was with you, I was able to try it. And Michael is absolutely right. So if you guys ever want to do a splurge on anything, you've got to buy that soda stream. I'm going to put that on one of my lists to get because you're right. You know, you can take Crystal Light or any kind of flavors that they have and make this great soda,
yeah.
and though all of those calories and sugars are just not there, but it really does taste like regular soda. It's the greatest thing.
Yeah, you get all the fizzy with all the crap and the sugar to it. And plus, the more I read about sodas, oh, my Lord, I don't know why I drink them, but yoy.
Yeah, sodas are not good for us, even so that the mayor in New York, of course, he's trying to put a sales tax on big gulps and larger size sodas, and of course that's not going over too well there because
yeah.
people are saying he's trying to regulate what you should eat. But I understand why he's doing it, because sodas just are not good for us. So I understand the reason, but it is going to be interesting to see if that passes and how that is going to work out. Well, guys, we will continue to watch the news. We hope that you continue to listen to At Home with Victoria. We'll be back next week. Michael, you're going to play some music as we leave the show?
Yeah, I'm going to play a little music from Necessary Truths for More. So I want to thank Mar up in chat for helping us tonight, and our lovely executive producer and all of you who listened. And Vic, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Indie Soap Awards. So Michael Taylor Gray and I will meet you in up your way.
Yep, that's right. Yep, here at DC.
You got it.
Right.
Good night, everybody. Have a great evening.
You have been listening to At Home with Victoria, a popular news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Plus, download the show on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. Tune in again next time for At Home with Victoria with your host, Victoria Gaither.